Hey, everybody, it's Chris Michaels for the Last Call podcast, and I'm a little bit pressed for time today, so it's going to be probably fairly quick. Not so sure if I'm going to get through everything, but here we go. Okay, so does everybody remember Miss Gay over from the Ivy League Ivory Tower? That's right, the one that was a plagiarist, and everybody stood behind her, everybody on the board from Harvard, oh, God, we can't do anything here because she is one of us. And, of course, she was elevated to the lofty ranks of a $900,000 a year salary. And even though she stepped down as president and is now a faculty member, she still gets to keep that $900,000 salary. It was a title demotion. Who cares? I'll take a title demotion if I still get my 900 grand a year by cheating my way to the top. So there is another person. This individual's name also is from Harvard, Sherry Ann Charleston. And do you know what Miss Charleston did? Why? The same thing Miss Gay did. Ooh, what do you think that is? Plagiarism. Lifting other people's work, not giving them any credit, not putting quote marks around the work that you're doing. She literally copied and pasted her husband's work and did not give him any kind of credit. That's how bad this is. In her 2009 dissertation submitted to the University of Michigan, Charleston quotes or paraphrases nearly a dozen scholars without proper attribution. And she is effectively taking credit for her husband's work. If you analyze both papers, they have the same methods, same findings, and description of a survey subject is the identical study that they both used from 2012, which involved interviews with black computer science students and was first published by the Journal of Diversity in Higher Education. That's according to the Free Beacon. And then all of these people started to really dig and find identical word-for-word paragraphs here. And the 2014 paper, according to Peter Wood, head of National Association of Scholars and a former provost at Boston, said it is entirely counterfeit. This is research fraud, pure and simple. Opened and shut case. That's it. This is all we should be looking at. And what do you think Ms. Charleston's position over at Harvard is? Oh, she's part of DEI. In other words, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Oh, of course she's part of that crowd. Doesn't it make you agitated? After joining Harvard, she served on the staff advisory committee, which helped choose, guess who? Claudine Gay, the other person we spoke about as president in 2022 of December. The Harvard Crimson also reported that Charleston taught gender studies courses at the University of Wisconsin, and her bio is describing her as one of the nation's leading experts on diversity, and she also was involved in translating diversity and inclusion research into practice for students, staff, researchers, postdoctoral fellows, and faculty of color. In other words, how do you engage in racism and get away with it? This is the type of people. Are you starting to notice a trend here that all of these DEI people, right? And I don't mean it in that way. I mean the individuals that are involved in implementing DEI across schools and campuses and so on, they all are doing just about the same thing. They're copying other people's work. Why? Because they wouldn't be in their positions unless they had some kind of help. And that help came in the form of, oh, I'm a female. Oh, I'm black. I'm Asian. I'm Jewish. On and on. Doesn't matter. They are being promoted. These individuals are being promoted simply because of race and gender. Some of them are still confused about their gender, and that's even a bonus, too. At some point, all of this is going to come crumbling down, right? I mean, we even hear about these stories of law schools accepting people. We hear stories about the medical community starting to accept people without the proper credentials. I mean, are we really truly saying here that the Ivy League crowd, the people that are supposed to adhere to some kind of standards, they are, let's interpret this. They don't believe in the academic capabilities of minorities. That's what this comes down to. So the only way that they feel as though a black student, an Hispanic student, the only way they feel that those students can progress throughout school is by just waiving the requirements. How insulting is that to black and Hispanic students that they feel as though, or this kind of policy is being enacted? I mean, that would be a slap in the face. But as a student, I mean, if you're going to let me do something like that, well, I'm going to take advantage of it. But once the real world hits these people, then it's going to be a different story. Because knowing that DEI exists, you're going to now have a population that, let's just say, they have to go in for a procedure and they see somebody of, a different complexion. They're going to start questioning whether or not this person actually made it through school based upon their capabilities or their race or gender. That's how bad that is. And it's insulting. It truly is insulting. Why doesn't anyone believe here in the DEI crowd that a black or Hispanic student or a female student can be just as good as the supposed white patriarchy? It's absolutely nonsense. Absolutely nonsense. So it's now I think this is going to start rolling downhill for academia, and rightfully so. I mean, academia should be a place where anyone can go to and say, oh, this person's competent because look at how brilliant they wrote their paper. Not because, oh, this is copied and pasted and I'm not going to do any plagiaristic due diligence to make sure this person isn't copying somebody else's paper without attribution. So please, enough. Anyway, I wanted to get to this because there's a lot going on behind the scenes still on the Republican primary side. This came from USA Today. Ron DeSantis. He's still making some headlines. A shadow campaign. Is Ron DeSantis poised to step in if Donald Trump implodes? And that was written by Zach Anderson. And Mr. Anderson does make a few good points. He said that essentially, why is DeSantis still focusing on federal issues? And why are his talking points, why is he getting in front of people and all of the speeches he's giving, why are they still focused as if he was still running for the presidency? That's an odd thing, don't you? I thought he dropped out. I thought he threw his weight behind Donald Trump. I thought he was going to start being governor again and focusing on issues of Floridians. But it doesn't seem as though that is continuing to happen. And it appears, according to Gregory Koger, University of Miami, political science professor, I would say he's waging a shadow campaign to preserve his eligibility for a presidential run. I can't say whether his focus is on 2024 or 28. Anyone can see Trump might be vulnerable and might not make it through the process, but that is just an outside chance. I will say this, Mr. Koger. He's still focusing on 2024. But it ain't to jump in on the side of President Trump. It ain't to jump in to be the presidential nominee in the Republican primary. I will say this. It's to be the vice president of Nikki Haley. Everyone makes the argument, including myself, it's way too early to choose a vice president. They should be doing that in the summer when it really matters. But this is the primary, and these people are desperate. They don't want another Joseph Biden. The elites. You're talking about Democrat mega donors giving all of their cash to Nikki Haley. They used to give a lot of it to Ron DeSantis, but he dropped out. So what does that enable them to do? It enables them to coalesce their efforts around Nikki Haley. Now, it has to do with where the money goes. So who are these people donating to Nikki Haley? Well, in the primary, you're going to have this kind of situation going on. And I referenced this before. They don't want Trump. They definitely don't want Biden. And according to James O'Keefe, formerly from Project Veritas, and his undercover video that he just recently made with a person from the White House, by the way, Michelle Obama desperately does not want the nomination for president. She doesn't want it. She absolutely not. She said, I saw all of the nonsense that they put her supposed husband Barack Obama through, and I just don't want to deal with it. Rightfully so, especially since we know what Joan Rivers has said about her. So if she's out, maybe you'll have Newsom step in. Maybe. In the scenario that I suggested, where Biden wins all the primary votes and then they dump some over to Newsom. But the mega donors don't even want Newsom. They want Nikki Haley because Nikki Haley is pro-war. That's why. That's why. And here's where letting the cat out of the bag a little early in the primaries for your VP pick is going to be important. If she comes out and says, oh, I want Ron DeSantis to be my VP pick, then she is going to attempt to have the primary voters choose her because they are combining the voters that would have went to Ron DeSantis and combining the voters that would have went to Nikki Haley. And now you've essentially got two primary nominees combining their efforts. Then you to get the votes away from Trump. Then you've got all of the mega donors that don't have to spread around their cash between Ron DeSantis, a Democrat primary runner like Newsom or Joseph Biden or Nikki Haley. Now they can only focus their money on Nikki Haley because it will trickle down to Ron DeSantis since he's the VP pick. That's how all of this is going to be attempted to be worked. Laura Loomer came out with an article. She found a Stand With Nikki fundraising event over in Houston, Texas. And this event ain't for the normal ham and egger like you and me. Just to show up, it's going to cost you a Masonic $3,300. Oh, yes. If you've got $3,300 laying around, you can show up. But if you want to be in the super secret platinum level person, you have to donate $33,200 for if you just want to show up cap in hand. $16,600 will be needed just to get a cocktail at this event. So this is the type of caliber we're talking about here. Mega donors. And she goes through all kinds of individuals that are donating to this event, that are attending this event. You've got people that are like, they just donate to Democrats, just to sum it up that way, right? She posts screenshots from opensecrets.org where you can look up a person's name to figure out whether or not they donated to an individual candidate or a cause or a PAC, a PAC. And so you've got these mega donors. You've got these people donating to Chuck Schumer, Joseph Manchin donating to him, donating to Nikki Haley. What else do we got here? Donating to Jeb Bush. You're looking at these mega donors that would prefer a Hillary Clinton or a Jeb Bush, a Bush family member. This is the old guard. This is the last gasp of the old guard in the Republican Party. And they know these people do not like Joseph Biden. He's too long in the tooth. The guy can't even walk properly. So do they really want somebody that incapacitated to be running for president? And God forbid he actually keels over in the process, and you've got Kamala Harris, who, once again, according to James O'Keefe, cannot keep any staff members because she's such an irrespectable tyrant. So, moving down the list, you've got more people donating to the Democrats, moving quite along. I'm not going to sit here and go through this laundry list of individuals and where they've donated to, but what I'm trying to get at here is the Democrats are moving to Nikki Haley. And I brought this up plenty of times. And the individuals that I'm referencing here, or the individuals that Laura Loomer references here, is that these people are donating, like, not $500, not $50, not a couple of bucks here or there. Each donation is around $3,000, $3,300. And that's just for a couple of candidates or a PAC here or there. So if you look at how much money these people actually have, you're getting into enormous sums of money. This is where the money is going. It is going to Nikki Haley. They want more wars. They want more of the Biden policy, but they need to have more confidence. And that's where the Hillary Clinton crowd is going, because she ain't running. This is where the Jeb Bush clan is going. The Mitt Romneys, these people, the Karl Roves, because Karl Rove's wife, anybody that doesn't know Karl Rove, he was a big-time warmonger and strategist. He looks like he should be on a farm eating from a trough. So another county fair, I wouldn't say blue ribbon winner, but he's up there. He did attend the contest for county fair. And his wife is actually hosting this event over in Houston with these mega donors. So Rasmussen also came out with a poll, and it focused on the elites. So we're talking about the 1% of society. So the real upper crusters, you know, the ones that still do snuff. The elite 1% behind the cultural war. And this is from Real Clear Wire. Woo, couldn't get that out of the mouth. So they took a poll of 1,000 people. And they basically wanted individuals that make at least 150 grand a year. And that's what's considered the upper 1%, by the way. So if you really want to do the math, you can truly figure out how poor America's workers are if you're saying 150 grand a year is in the upper cruster percent. These people are living in another world, completely, completely distanced from what we live in, okay? So the elite 1% are mostly young individuals, around 35 years old, maybe up to 55 years old. 86% are white. Well, how come DEI isn't over here? How come we don't have more people of color, more women being up there? They overwhelmingly support Joseph Biden. They give him an 82% approval rating. 82%. That's not just most. That is an overwhelming majority of these people. It just goes to show you that these individuals, the upper crusters, are stupid. Now, this is the reason why they support him. Because their money allows legislation to go through to make them richer. These are the people that engage with lobbyists and so on the local level, on the upper levels. And an overwhelming amount of these individuals, 73%, are Democrats. So we have a true problem here, a really, really, really big problem. They also, 70% of them, trust the government to do the right thing. You want to know how COVID happened. You want to know how all of these mandates, masks and distancing and injections, that's where this is coming from. It's these people that are too stupid to think, or they just view you as cattle. And so if they are well invested in Johnson & Johnson or Pfizer or Moderna, whatever, right? They've got a vested interest in making those companies and those industries even richer. So what do? They back up the government. They donate to politicians. They donate to political action committees. They donate to lobbyists to change the laws, to bend the rules, to create new policies. And Biden is more than happy to do it. So yes, you're going to get those kinds of answers. They are going to trust the government, because they are the ones creating policy that the government acts on. 57% of all voters say there's not enough individual freedom, while 47% says that there is too much freedom. Too much freedom. Is that even possible? How could freedom be limited? Well, we've seen plenty of ways that happens. So that's where we are with all of this. And if you don't think we have a true problem here, I mean, then you're just not paying attention. I know if you're listening to me, then you already answered the question and you truly believe that this is an actual problem. But here's the other thing. 55% believe that there is too much individual freedom in America and that Americans should obey government more than anything else. Then they have where all of these people came from. Well, I mean, it's a laundry list of Democrat universities. Harvard, Yale, University of Pennsylvania, Northwestern, Johns Hopkins, Columbia, Stanford, Berkeley, Princeton, Cornell, MIT, University of Chicago. We have a serious problem in the infrastructure of our Ivy Leagues. The problem stems from these radical Bolshevists in these universities that are corrupting the minds of this country's future. And they think they're doing God's work, and they think that you should obey orders because they know better. They came from the Ivy Leagues, not you. You went to a trade school. You opened up a business. This is really, really, really stunning, and it is part of the Nikki Haley crowd. So whenever anybody comes up to you and says, oh, I like Nikki Haley, I bet you do. I bet you like Joe Biden. Because this elite crowd that supports Biden, that's where the money lies. And where do you think that money is going? Straight to Nikki Haley. Straight to Ron DeSantis. It ain't Biden. Straight to future war criminal Nikki Haley, if she ever gets close to the presidency. Now, once again, you have to take that with a grain of salt, because if you look at the polls, the media is hyping her up. CNN even went to a Ron DeSantis press conference. Why would CNN go to a Ron DeSantis press conference when he said that he's not running for president anymore? Unless somebody knows he still is vying for the VP slot and they want to keep Ron DeSantis in the public eye. So that's going to be it for me. 23 minutes. Here we go. Okay, I'm off for the weekend. You are too. I will be on Greg Bolden's show. You can find us over on X. And that is over at Emboldened America, where we will be doing a podcast with a guest and wrapping up the week as always. Until Monday, you gird your loins and be that brilliant, lovable fuzzball that I know you all are.